expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning. You have tuned in to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for David Pruse, who is out taking care of other public responsibilities. And we're going to have an open line program this morning. Whatever you want to talk about is fair game. You can agree with me or disagree with me. I don't care. I'd be happy to have the conversation. And the number to call if you want to participate in the program is 458-8255, and that's 458-TALK. So to get it going, lots of things going on. We've got there's meetings this at least couple of weeks. On the borough is doing its 20-year revision of the comp plan. There was public meetings at Ken Conkle Center Monday night, out at North Pole last night, and there will be several other meetings about the comp plan, so we can talk about the comp plan. The Education Task Force, the legislature's Education Task Force, is starting to meet again. I understand the federal government has shut down, and that has caused some things to talk about. And then we have some other bills and all kinds of other things. We might have somebody joining us in 15 or 20 minutes. We'll see if that happens. But for now, open line, open forum. So let's start off with the comp plan. The borough, Fairbanks North Star Borough, has what they call their comprehensive development plan, and that is a very important document, and that for primarily planning and zoning decisions have to conform to, and they're guided by the overall comprehensive development plan. So that's the major objective of this comprehensive plan, and then within it, there's other things that the borough does that are also supposed to be kind of guided. But it is an opportunity for everybody in the borough to participate and give your ideas to the folks that are helping with the revision of the comp plan. And as I say, right now, the next couple of weeks, they're taking public input, which will kind of be the scoping change. And then it takes several months. They're going to go take all those ideas, synthesize them, and come up with a draft. Then there will be more hearings and whatnot. But your best opportunity to get involved is right at the start and attend these meetings, because, like it or not, public policy is made by those who show up. So this is a good time to go find the comprehensive plan on the borough's planning and zoning website, and then from there you will find a link to the meeting schedule and et cetera. But and you can attend any of those. If it's in your neighborhood, that's of course the easiest, but if it's somewhere across town and you have something that you want to add into there, you're welcome to do that as well. And if you're just wondering at this point, what is the comprehensive plan all about? It makes a lot of sense to just go and listen, and then you might get some ideas from that and think about it, and you can, of course, submit written testimony at any time. And just the key thing really is to pay attention to it and take advantage of this opportunity. So a couple of things that just I was at the North Pole meeting last night, and I just was looking at the whole plan. Typically, when you have any plan, the first thing you want to do is review what is in the current plan. What have we been doing? What has the comprehensive plan accomplished over the last 20 years? And then take an assessment of the opportunities that are ahead of us, maybe the challenges that are ahead of us. List those. Look at the other plans that are out there. There's a there's a trails plan for sure, parks plan, metropolitan transportation plan, half a dozen other plans, all of those. And it's a difficult process, but you either start from the top down or you start from the bottom up. And actually, you kind of have to do both. You have to look at what is being done at a high level now, and then what are these other plans? How does the transportation plan fit into the comprehensive plan, into the economic development plan, the land use plan, et cetera? Because they all integrate. And all the other plans are supposed to be subjects within the comprehensive plan, the way to think about it. And one of the things I think we need to give some serious thought to is in the comprehensive plan, there are aspirational goals, which at that level, that's not all bad, but there aren't hard and fast goals that we hope to accomplish over the next 20 years. And that would be based on what we expect to happen. What is going to happen, or what do we think is going to happen over the next 20 years? A specific from the last comprehensive plan, there was an expectation of a continued, that was developed, by the way, in would be 2004 or 5, somewhere in that neighborhood, 20 years ago. And one of the things they expected was a continuing increase in population. And in fact, that didn't happen. The population of the borough is actually a few percentage points less than it was 20 years ago. So that brings up a huge question. Why did that happen? 20 years ago, we thought if we did all these great things, then the population would continue to increase. And in fact, that hasn't happened. And so something that really needs to be discussed is, well, why didn't that happen? And why, in fact, has the population been declining? And then review the old plan and see, well, we thought this would work, and I'm not sure it did. And now, what do we think is going to happen moving forward? That is going to be some things like with the movement for alternative energy. That's really primarily a Golden Valley problem to solve, at least at some level. That affects the price and reliability of the system, but also it affects land use in the area. And there might be appropriate locations for, let's say, a wind farm as an example. There's a project that is in the mill to build a fairly large wind farm in the tens of megawatts size, and that's going to take up a lot of land to begin with. And then there's positives and negatives to that. That affects the viewshed and whatnot. And then the federal laws are changing Does it depend on federal subsidy? If that doesn't happen, well, what happens next, et cetera? And then there's a lot of interest in promoting solar energy up here, and same deal, that has some advantages. But the other side is it takes up some space. It affects other things that go on around the area. So there are probably some places where a solar farm is a good idea and maybe some places where it's not such a good idea. There's disadvantages to it. And now is the time to discuss things like that. And then there's, well, what's in there now, primarily, well, no, that's maybe not right. That's a little too far. But a lot of ideas for amenities. And what is the difference between an amenity and an investment? That's something we got to think about. Trails, parks, all those things are amenities that do make the community more attractive. I'll go along with that. And on the other hand, they don't pay for themselves, so you have to have economic development to get a tax base that can fund the provision of the amenities, or you have to decide, well, maybe we need to start charging fees for those amenities so that the people who are using them understand the cost of it, and it is more cost-driven than just I want something and somebody else to pay for it. Those are the kind of things that we have to be thinking about now. And as I say, I keep kind of harping on this, that we need to be involved with that because public policy is made by those who show up. So with that start on the comp plan, let's take a little break for some commercial announcements and the weather report. And we will be back after that and remind you, you're listening to KFAR 660 AM 97.5 FM. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center, Interior Alaska's choice for state-of-the-art eye care. Find relief with the most advanced dry eye center in the interior. See clearly and be free of your reading glasses and contacts for good. Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center. Surgeons Dr. Laura Kearsley and Dr. Jason Crosscree specialize in premium cataract surgery, LASIK laser vision correction, and treatment of eye disease. All insurance accepted. Schedule your consultation. Visit mountainvieweyes.com.
Golden Heart City, get ready to pump up the kids. This holiday season, Last Frontier Media Active is proud to carry on a local legacy, the Adopt-A-Family program, started by Love Inc. way back in 1995. And we're keeping the tradition with help from Napa Auto Care Group, Lotto Alaska, Kumon, and Samart Automotive. You can help families right here in our community by providing toys, clothes, and holiday essentials that make a real difference. This holiday season, we will continue the tradition of connecting families in need with generous adopters like you. Starting November 10th, tune in to learn how to adopt a family or donate. Let's keep the spirit alive because together we can make this holiday season shine brighter than ever. Pump up the kids, adopt a family, because every family deserves to feel the magic of the holidays.
A special thank you goes to Lotto Alaska and the members of the Napa Auto Care Group like Frontline Automotive, Gabe's Truck and Auto, plus Kumon and Samard Automotive. Go to KFARradio.com for all the details.
Santa's elves have been busy, and they're ready to help you get a big jump on your holiday shopping next weekend at the Holiday Marketplace. Brought to you by Lotto Alaska. There'll be over 175 mini specialty shops with one-of-a-kind gifts. With so many items and vendors, there's bound to be something for everyone on your list. This is guaranteed to be the perfect place to find all of your holiday shopping gifts in one single location. So come on out to the Holiday Marketplace next weekend at the Carlson Center. Sponsored by Riverside Eats and the Radio Station.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with snow showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 20. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Snow likely. Lows dip down to about 12. about an inch of snow today through tonight, with another inch tomorrow night through Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. Your guest host, well, you're listening first, Problem Corner, KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. And we are doing an open line program, and we do have a telephone call, so let's go to the telephone. Good morning, you're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Oh, there we go. Good morning, you're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
This is Randy.
Randy, what's on your mind?
Well, in today's newspaper, Wednesday, November 5, on the opinion page, there was an interesting op-ed or a community perspective or whatever it is, and it's titled, Where is AI Taking Us? And it outlined a bunch of fears that people might have about it, that the author apparently has about it, and the dangers that it poses. Now, I particularly am not fearful of AI. I think it's a marvelous invention, and I use it myself when I go to Google. I often go to the Google AI answer, and it gives a real good summary of, generally, it doesn't mess up. Anyway, did you see this article by chance?
I have not read that article yet.
Okay. Anyway, I guess the only thing that kind of alarmed me a little bit in the article, I mean, I agreed with some of its fears. Now, it didn't have anything to do with displacing jobs or anything. It didn't approach from that angle. Mm-hmm. It just talked about that it seems to have its own purposes, and it's kind of devious, and it gave some examples of how an AI computer tried to blackmail one of the AI, one of the computer handlers, talking about his threatening to reveal his adulterous affair that the AI somehow scrounged from email if it went ahead and tried to shut it off because the computer was thinking that this guy was going to turn it off somehow. You know, I don't know mm-hmm. how embellished reports are like that.
Sure.
But one thing that concerned me a little bit about the article is here it says, so what should be done? Well, the U.S. should lead the world in developing global provisions for AI safety, containment, and control. The enormous and unimaginably rich AI companies should be required to spend half their AI investment on AI safety research and monitoring. Anyway, I just hope that these fears of AI don't lead to an overzealous reaction toward world government or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Point well taken. AI, it's really a misnomer. It isn't artificial intelligence. It's machine learning.
Uh-huh.
The folks that program these chatbots, and I can't remember all the different names, but it's a human being telling a machine to do something. And it's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
A little more sophisticated than a hammer, but a hammer is just a tool. And if you use a hammer for driving nails or pulling nails, that's what the hammers are good for. If you use a hammer to hit somebody over the head or to break your neighbor's window, that would be considered a misuse of the tool,
yeah.
In my opinion. But we do... I am concerned about the possibilities because it is way more than a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one hand, I think it could be used and could be the even more important, I guess, or more of an effect, more of an impact on society than the development of the steam engine, because now we do have a tool that helps us think, and that the possibilities are endless. And I haven't played around with it much. You know, frankly, I'd just soon they unplug the internet. I don't think that's going to happen, so I'm going to have to go along with it. But there are going to be some disruptions. Right now, boy, this is really something, but they're working on programs that enable a computer sort of to write its own programming, the programming language. And that has already caused some people that were computer programmers to lose their job. They've been replaced by machines doing what they were doing. So you could make a law that says, well, no, you can't run anybody off just because you've developed a machine that takes over their work. That's not a good idea. But what is going to have to happen is that programmers and the rest of us are going to have to really step up to the plate and be very careful about this artificial intelligence. There's just been a significant increase. For instance, you were talking about using artificial intelligence to Google's program. And so that just makes it very easy to, however the programmer decided to sort out the news and tell the computer to write a summary of the news. Well, that's a good thing. That helps, but I don't know. Is that programmer infallible? So what I have to do, certainly, is check just about everything out. And at this point, that's a real disadvantage to me for my job. Because there, as you go back in time, there was the internet began, but before that, there were monthly magazines and people were hired to have a month or more to really develop an in-depth article about anything. And that was in addition to newspaper reporters that had to get a story out every day, and weekly magazines couldn't get as in-depth, but then you had monthly magazines and they would get further into that. And then you had these things. Remember those? They had books. Are you familiar? Yeah, you're familiar with books. You've experienced them. They had those covers and all of that, and it might take you 4 or 5 days to get through the book. And they can really go into some ideas. And now there's so much data out there that it's hard to sort the wheat from the chaff. And it is real easy to develop convincing stories that are just plain false. And some of them, as was meant, you mentioned, that they're used maliciously. And the hardware, or the software, rather, is capable of taking just a picture of somebody and then telling that machine, I don't know how they do this, but making that picture effectively talk in a way that you think it is an actual live person doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And it is totally false. So we do have to worry and wonder about that, but we're going to have to worry and wonder about that after we take a break, because the music's in the background and the satellite is taken over. And so we will be back after some national news, some advertisements from our sponsors, and maybe even a weather report in there. But you're listening to KFAR, and we've got an open line program going, and we will be back in a few minutes, so stay with us.
Is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live.
News
of
John Saucier. New York City Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani celebrating in Queens this morning had a message for ICE and other federal agents operating in the city.
Everyone will be held to the same standard of the law. If you violate the law, you must be held accountable. And there is sadly a sense that is growing across this country that certain people are allowed to violate that law, whether they be the president or whether they be the agents themselves.
The Fox News Decision Desk projecting Mamdani won the election with at least 50% of the vote. A UPS plane went down during takeoff, 9 people dead, more injured. Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg says crews are working to restore power to the area.
LG&E is getting power back on to those non-affected areas outside of the crash site. Right now, last I heard, there were 135 customers still without power.
This happened yesterday at Louisville Muhammad Ali International Airport. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
After 64 years, Kenai Aviation is ceasing operations in the state due to financial difficulties, according to its owner. Alaska's news source reports the small airline based in Kenai was the brainchild of Bob Bielefeld, who helped create the flying service in 1961, 2 years after he arrived in Alaska when he saw the need to transport people and supplies in Alaska's burgeoning energy industry. Bob safely transported thousands of passengers across the inlet, trained many local pilots and built a reputation for dependability, which continues to drive our company, the company website states. The airline's current owner, Joel Caldwell, took over in 2018 and wrote a heartfelt letter on the company's website explaining the dire situation. In the letter, Caldwell states the company is financially insolvent, citing the COVID-19 pandemic as a chief reason for its money problems. Caldwell wrote the airline had a debt load it hasn't been able to overcome.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
His blurry eyes cleared and the bright recovery room made him squint. The anesthesia jumbled his memory and he couldn't quite orient himself. He was no stranger to being alone, so the empty hospital room was just normal. No wife, no kids, no siblings. From nowhere, the memories flooded back. The stupid decision to walk home from the party, the blackened feet, the diagnosis. He looked to the end of the bed with hope. Was it a dream? Unfortunately, no. All he saw was absence. Both feet had been amputated. Last winter, the Fairbanks Rescue Mission was host to 7 amputees that overwintered with us. Frostbite amputations are a reality in the coldest city in the United States. It's one of the reasons it's critical to give where you live right here in Fairbanks. So before you donate to an out-of-state cause, please take care of Fairbanks first. Real needs are going down in real time right where you live. So give where you live. At FairbanksRescueMission.org. That's FairbanksRescueMission.org.
An affair, a fortune on the line, and the perfect murder. But what happens when it all goes wrong? Find out when the Fairbanks Drama Association presents their production of Dial M for Murder. The play runs Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30, Sunday afternoons at 2, October 24th through November 9th at the Haprider Riverfront Theater. Get your tickets online at aktickets.com or call the box office at 907-456-PLAY. And get your tickets now for Dial M for Murder.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and we're doing a kind of an open line program this morning. If you want to participate, the number to call is 458-8255 and 458-TALK. And we do have a call, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with? We're doing good, but I think you have your radio on, and we're not getting a good cell phone signal.
Oh, my gosh.
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now, yes. Who am I speaking with?
This is Brad from the Fairbanks Vet Center.
Brad from the Vet Center. How can we help you today?
Hey, I just want to put a shameless plug out there. Since Fairbanks isn't going to have a Veterans Day celebration. We are on Friday.
Friday the 11th.
That's, yeah, this upcoming Friday.
Yep, okay. Tell me all about it.
And it's from 12 to 3 p.m., and it's an open house luncheon.
12 to 3 open house luncheon. All right. And where's it going to be?
It's going to be at the Vet Center.
At the Vet Center. Okay. And so you can just, anybody can stop by?
Yeah, come on down. So what we're going to do is we're going to combine three events into one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're going to have the Marine Corps birthday,
mm-hmm.
Women's Veterans Day,
okay,
and Veterans Day.
And Veterans Day.
All wrapped up into one on Friday.
Good. And the Vet Center, I want to say, in the old Teamsters building. It has changed names a couple of times since then. What's the current name?
So, yeah, we're at 751 Old Richardson Highway.
Okay, and that's...
Suite 127.
127, and that's the big sign outside is Fairbanks Athletic Center. Am I correct?
No, oh, that's at the Alaska Club, John.
Alaska Club, sorry, yep. All right, so Old Richardson at the Vet Center. And everybody is welcome to step in or stop in, but particular veterans.
Correct. If you know a veteran, bring them on down.
Bring them down. And if you don't know a veteran or if you're not a veteran, it is worthwhile to stop in and see what's going on at the Veteran Center. There's a,
that's correct.
You can more likely get in a good conversation, and you're doing some really good things. So thank
absolutely.
You for putting that on.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you much. All right, so the Fairbanks Vet Center is putting on a program lunch for veterans, 12 to 3, at the Vet Center in the same building that you'll notice the Athletic Club out on the Old Richardson Highway. And then there was another. I got to put a plug in again, remind people on the Well, there's two. Find Out Free Clinic. There was an advertisement for that. And now I just can't think of the name. Oh, this is awful. Pete Kelly. And, oh, rats, I get into this. Getting old, getting mind is wearing out. But local outfit, the... Anyway, the point I was trying to make is think about donating to local programs. There's all kinds of nonprofit charitable organizations that are providing good services to our community and just good to understand what they're doing, take a look at it, and see if you can help out. Another one. The local Red Cross, we've had this flooding storm emergency out on the West Coast, and the Red Cross is helping out with relocations and just helping people out. So it's a good idea to give them a call, and you might want to pitch in and help out on that. We have another phone call, so let's go to the phone real quick. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Craig Gumpel, Mike. The term your brain was trying to find was rescue mission.
Rescue mission. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, I would have thought of that about 2:30 or 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. Good. Thank you. Yes, rescue mission. Good outfit. They really do a lot of help for lots of people, and they try and, well, they do some triage. You have to be... sober going in, stay sober to stay there, but they are there to really help people out, and they really do a lot of good in the community. So if you don't know what they're doing, stop by, check them out, and think about helping out the rescue mission. And I've been somewhat rescued this morning. We have Representative Frank Tomaszewski has stopped in. So good morning, and what's on your mind, Frank?
Good morning. Good morning, Fairbanks. Just another beautiful day here in the interior.
Yes.
And I was just listening and heard about some different Veterans Day things going on. There's also the American Legion 99 is also doing a flag retirement on the 11th, mm-hmm. Veterans Day, and that'll be on Old Valdez Trail. And I was just looking for the address, and I don't have it with me, but the American Legion 99, North Pole area, mm-hmm. Amanda Jones is a contact on that, and that's going to be happening at 2 p.m.
2 p.m.
to, I think, maybe 4, 2 to 4, I think, is the flag retirement ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there's a town hall at the event center.
Event center,
I believe
it is. Eight-star event center, I think they call it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Will Stapp is putting on town hall there on Veterans Day, and I think that's 5 to 7, and a bunch of us will be there, a bunch of the interior delegation, as far as I know. I don't know who's going to attend, but that may be something else to think about.
Yeah.
On Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be good.
Yeah. And I had an interesting weekend.
Before you get into that, we mentioned the flag disposal ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And the 99, American Legion Post 99, is out by Salcha. So if you can't get out there, I would bet, I'll take a risk, but I'll bet if you go to any American Legion post around town, and there's one out by Moose Creek as well, but if you let them know that you would like to properly dispose of a flag, they will get in touch with Post 99. And that is kind of, it's worthwhile.
It's about respect
yeah. And thinking about, yep, we are citizens of a nation. And it is a good way to show respect. Takes a little more time to go do that, but it's worthwhile. Okay, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Oh, no worries. No, I'll just tell you, I had fun digging a hole this weekend out at my property. I moved a water tank from above ground to underground, so I'm very happy now that mm-hmm. my water tank that I have at my house there is now below ground. So I had some fun playing in the dirt with the backhoe on all that ice. So that was an interesting weekend.
Yes. Did you have trouble getting through the frost, or is it not frozen too far yet?
No, I knew I was going to do it, and that was just the time. And so I did lay out a tarp beforehand and kind of kept the ground a little bit. But no, I didn't really run into any. The ground wasn't too frozen at all yet at mm-hmm. this point last weekend. So, but it is definitely getting there now.
It's getting to be winter. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR, Problem Corner, and who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Lisa Witt.
Lisa Witt, how can we help you today?
Happy Veterans Day.
Yes. Thank you for reminding us. It's the official Veterans Day is this Friday, the 11th.
Tuesday the 11th.
Oh, Tuesday the 11th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, next week.
Right month. That's good. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but my dad's in South Korea right now.
He's in South Korea. In which service?
The Army.
Okay.
Well, we thank him for his service,
yep.
Service to our country. And,
yes.
You know, pray for his safety, of course.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, yeah, well, that's important. And also, to help out soldiers, people that are in the services and their families. That's another good thing to keep in mind. To, you know, just something as simple as you see somebody in uniform walking around town, just kind of smile, say hello, and say thank you. And that really goes a long ways, because that's they're in tough positions, a lot of them. Maybe they're based in Fairbanks but away from their family, or they're based somewhere else and they're in Fairbanks, and it's a tough thing to deal with at times. So thank you for calling and reminding us about that. And, yeah, just if you meet somebody in uniform, you don't have to know them. That's not important. But just give them a smile and say thank you. And that goes a long ways to helping them through their time away from home or whatever. And so, yeah, thank you for reminding us.
Okay, have a nice day.
Okay, thank you for calling. Yep.
All right.
There we go.
Yeah, in fact, on that point, it wasn't that long ago. A couple weeks ago, I think I seen a couple of in-uniform servicemen, men and women, come into a restaurant I was in, and we were standing there, and I said, thank you for your service, and just broke into a little conversation with these folks, and they were just new to Fairbanks. They just transferred up, and they said, yeah, it's a real difference from the last location, because I can't remember where they said they were, but they said the community just was less than hospitable. And what they have really seen and recognized just in the short time that they had been here is that how welcoming Fairbanks is to the service members in our community. And so I'll just say good job, Fairbanks, for making those service members feel at home.
Yeah, good. Let's see. Oh, I see we are getting towards quarter to the hour, meaning that we have to take a little break to hear from our sponsors. Remind you, you're listening to Problem Corner, KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And with me in the studio this morning is Frank Chomaseski. So stay with us, and we will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Every house has windows, and when you have questions about purchasing new ones, where do you go? No, you don't ask Google. And if you did, it should tell you to go ask Steve at Glass Solutions for all your window and door-related questions. Steve's Alaska's expert with more than 30 years' experience selling Arctic-grade windows that will last. Everyday wholesale pricing on time-tested major brands that have proven themselves at 50 below zero. Call 699-9633 and ask for Steve for your best solution at Glass Solutions.
There's a new radio show echoing across the last frontier, Alaska Tracks. Alaska Tracks celebrates the heritage, landscapes, and deeply rooted traditions of life in Alaska. Hosted by wildlife biologist and lifelong outdoorsman Randy Zarkey, Alaska Tracks brings you firsthand stories from hunters, bush pilots, trappers, scientists, artists, and elders who know the land, live the lifestyle, and keep Alaska's legacy alive. Based on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association, each episode is a bridge between generations, between bush and city, between past and future. Alaska Tracks isn't just a show. It's a living archive, a celebration, and a call to stay connected to Alaska's roots. Proudly presented by KFAR Radio and supported by sponsors who celebrate Alaska's story. Rod Saw Shop, Ginger Oram with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Frontier Outfitters. Alaska Tracks, Saturdays at 1:30 p.m., only on KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by CNR Metal Recycling, Alaska's largest metal recycling center, proudly supporting the oil and gas industry since 1992. Proud to support the last frontier.
KFAR Weather.
High of 20 this afternoon, under cloudy skies with snow likely. Northerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 12. Overcast. About an inch of snow today through tonight, with another inch tomorrow night through Friday. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us, or if you have just joined us, you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Representative Frank Tomaszewski. And if you want to participate in the program, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And Representative Tomaszewski, you have some bills that you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I've got some bills that I introduced this last session and continuing to work on, and maybe we can get some traction on that and get some this legislation passed. One I just wanted to talk about is the is House Bill 64. That is the baby box bill, as we call it. It's a safety device for babies, and they have them in several other states. They're getting more frequent. Basically, it is, you know, right now Alaska has a surrender law that a mother who wants to surrender her baby, she feels she can't take care of it, or for whatever reason, she can surrender that baby legally, to a I think it's a doctor or maybe it's firefighter. There's a group of individuals you can surrender that baby to without having broken the law. We also see some mothers that haven't made that choice. There was a baby left in a box just a couple of years ago, I think, over on off of Chena Pump Road area. And luckily that baby, somebody noticed the box and something told them to jump up and go see what's in that box. And lo and behold, there was a baby. And it was about 10 below, I think, when that was that happened. So this is something that's been gaining traction around the nation and has been implemented in several states. And we just want to give Health and Social Services the ability to determine where some of these boxes can be placed. And most likely it would be like in at a fire station.
Right.
And maybe one per community, maybe a place like Anchorage might have more than one. But it's basically what we're trying to do is give the mothers another avenue to surrender their baby. And without, give that baby a fighting chance.
Yes.
And so that's House Bill 64. And I have it's a companion bill with Senator Myers from North Pole. He has the Senate version of the bill. And for those who don't understand how a bill process works, so the bill is drafted, it's read across the floor, it goes through several committees, and then if it gets enough traction to be passed, it'll pass the House, and then it would go to the Senate, and kind of the same process would happen. It would go through the committees, and then may or may not pass the Senate. But if it does pass the Senate, then it would, and if it passes the Senate and hasn't been changed from the House version, then it would go on to the governor. If it is changed substantially from the House version, then it would be passed to the Senate, and then given the House would have another chance to look at it and say, yes, we agree with these changes, or no, we don't.
Right.
And if they say, yes, we agree, it goes to the governor, and it's signed into law. So it is a sometimes cumbersome process, but it really is a good process because you really need a lot of eyes and ears on what's happening. And so that's right now it is the bill has passed one committee, and it's in its second committee in the House. And so we're going to take that up next session when we get back to Juneau. Any thoughts on that one, Mike?
Well, I think it's a good idea. You know, there's people, the initial reaction is, oh, my goodness, how could you care so little that you would abandon a baby? But that happens. That is women in a very difficult position, and this bill is focused on the baby. The other alternative, to remind people, doesn't take a law, but the Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. If you find yourself with an unplanned pregnancy or wondering about that, that is a very good outfit to go to, too. It's not judgmental. They're not there to judge anybody. They are there to help. But this will be a separate thing. It's a whole different set of circumstances, totally focused on the baby. So, yes, we should press that through. So, we have a phone call. Let's go to the telephone. We do not have a phone call.
Yeah, and it really is. It's about the baby, but it's also about the mother.
Yep.
Because no mother wants that on their conscience that nope. And that's you never know what they're going through, like you said, and it affords the opportunity for that baby to have a chance. And yes. that's kind of what it's all about.
All right. Well, good. What else have you got going?
Okay, so I have another bill that I've been working on. This is House Bill 74. This is a bill that amends the airbag fraud statute by establishing and defining airbag fraud. And I know what you're thinking, Mike. Why do we need a law about airbags? Yep. But apparently we don't, and apparently it's not illegal to knowingly install a fraudulent or malfunctioning airbag. And so we need to define that because there has been many instances where someone has sold a car and they bought it from a dealer or whatnot, and they sold them a vehicle with a bad airbag or just or non-functioning or not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And this bill is going to actually say you can't do that. So it establishes airbag fraud as a Class A misdemeanor or a Class C felony if a death or serious physical injury to another person occurs as a result of the counterfeit or non-functioning airbag. The section excludes a person installing, reinstalling, or placing an airbag on a vehicle used solely for police work, or an owner or employee of a motor vehicle dealership, or the owner of a vehicle who does not have knowledge that the vehicle's airbag is counterfeit or non-functioning. So if you sold me your car and you didn't know, hey, yep. that the airbag doesn't work, it doesn't apply to you. If you're a mechanic working in a shop and you pull an airbag off the shelf because you think it's a new airbag and it's not a real or functioning airbag, you are not responsible for that. So there are some exceptions to it, but the key is to knowingly install. That's where it gets.
Right. And we have a phone call.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's go to the phone. Good morning. You're on Cafe R. And who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Craig Compo. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Very good, Craig. Nice to hear from you.
Good. Good. I just listened to you talking about the airbag law or the bill. You got 74 going in. That's actually a really good thing because you got to stop that. But I'm just surprised it wasn't a Democratic sponsored thing since they're really the airbags out there.
We needed that.
Ouch.
And
all right.
And with
anyway,
that.
Good job, Craig.
Hey, thanks, Craig. I appreciate it. You know,
all right.
Craig Compo, you always make me laugh where you know, it seems like every time I bump into you, there's something, you've got a joke, you've got something funny, and I really appreciate that. Yep. Laughter right. goes a long way.
All right, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there's not enough of it in the world anymore.
Nope.
Absolutely.
And we are getting close to the end of the program. They're starting the news, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Key evidence recovered. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. Federal safety investigators just confirming they have the flight data and cockpit voice recorders from yesterday's fiery crash of a UPS plane in Louisville. NTSB Chair Todd Inman also says the left wing caught fire just before the crash as the plane took off.
We have viewed airport CCTV security coverage, which shows the left engine detaching from the wing during the takeoff.